For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Okay, welcome to our class on Sukkos. This is really our second class on Sukkos. And the first class, we really discussed a lot about the priorities of the world. Basically that, you know, we're here to develop ourselves spiritually. I mean, that's what the whole, you know, life is about. And therefore, that's been a theme that we've been pressing on all year long. And especially Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, that's what we're supposed to be doing tshuva on, you know, getting our priorities straight. Along comes Sukkos, and we mentioned that this is a time that's called Zman Simchasenu. You know, a time of rejoicing. And we ask the question, you know, why of all the holidays, this is the one that's called Zman Simchasenu, even though it does say that by all the Shlosh Regolim, it does say it. But by Sukkos in particular, it's mentioned three times in Torah Simcha. Okay? So that's one thing that we need an explanation of. And the other thing is that, that Sukkos is really a celebration of the clouds of glory. That's why we do the Sukkah, because Hashem sheltered us in Anane HaKavod, the clouds of glory in the desert, and therefore, in remembrance of that, we do this again. Okay? We do this again, we dwell in the Sukkah, and in fact, we're back there being protected by Hashem, which hopefully, God willing, we'll talk about later in the Shir. Okay? So, Chazal tell us in reference to this that the Sukkah has the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. It has the holiness of Eretz Yisrael. And just like Hashem, so to speak, you know, dwells in the land of Israel, he's closer to us. It says a person, leaves Israel as if he has no God. It's like an amazing statement. But basically, because you have a proximity to Hashem in Israel, you chose to leave it. Same thing in the Sukkah. The Sukkah, the Zohar calls it a shadow of faith, sel demunasa. You know, you're in the shadow of faith of Hashem. And just like in the desert, the clouds of glory, Hashem dwelt there with us in the Ani HaKavod, here too in Sukkos. Okay, so, and as a matter of fact, the Sukkos has very similar laws to Hilchos Beis Knesses, to the laws that we have in Shul. It's very interesting. Certain things you shouldn't do in shul, you can't do in the sukkah either. Talk, you know, if you're really, really scrupulous, you shouldn't talk frivolously or just idle conversation in the sukkah. It has a kedusha to it, right? You shouldn't have anything like diapers or something like that in the sukkah, like you can't have in shul. Okay? You have to treat it with a certain decorum, like in shul, right? A lot of halakhas like that. Okay? So, and the idea is, like we're saying, that Sukkah is also a house of, just like the Shul is a house of God, so is Sukkah. Okay? So, that's the two concepts. We have two questions here. Number one, why, in fact, is Sukkos Zman Simchasenu? Right? More so than any other time of the year. Okay? And why is Sukkah compared to a house of Hashem? The house of Hashem, besides, you know, the reason that we gave. Okay? So as you remember, we discussed that in the agricultural cycle, you know, Sukkos arrives at the end of the summer, right? And that, in fact, is a time when we gather in all the year's produce and fruit, right? And as such, we are reaping the benefit of a long year of toiling, that's like a Yiddish toil, yeah. Toiling on the land there, right? And we worked all year on the land, and now finally we're gathering in the crops. So, and as we mentioned, this is called Chag HaAsif, the ingathering festival. So in short, this is a time when we reap the bounty of the entire year's work. That's when Sukkos arrives, the most materialistic moment of the year, basically. That's what it is, okay? As I mentioned, this is like the paycheck. It's like your paycheck for all those months of working. Okay. So, That's the idea. For us, children of Israel, right, an agricultural nation, there was never a more materialistic time of year than Sukkot. And it's just dafka at this time that we're told, right, to leave all our gashmias behind, our sturdily built houses, all our materialistic comforts, and go out and dwell in these shaky booths. Right, which seems like a very ironic, it's very ironic. Okay? So, what precisely is the point here? What's the lesson we're supposed to learn from it? Okay? That's the question. And then that ties in why, we're going to see, that ties in why it's a Zman Tzev Chaseinu, why it's a house of Hashem. Precisely during this time of year, of this materialistic bounty, we dwell in shaky booths. We dwell in a shaky booth where every moment with your entire body, you're enveloped in a mitzvah. There's very few mitzvahs like that. Maybe living in Eretz Yisrael, you know? Baal Shem Tov used to say he loves the mitzvah of Sukkah because you can enter it with your whole body, even with the mud on your boots. Right? That's really, your whole body's into the mitzvah, okay? So, this is teaching us something very important. That even though when we do have materialistic bounty, you know, and all the comforts and luxuries, mamish, you know, that's this America. We talk about reaping the year's paycheck for the whole year. That's the way we live every day in America. Right? So dafka, here in America, this is very appropriate, this lesson, right? We have all the materialistic luxuries in the world during this time of Sukkot, right? And what do? Right? We make a point of saying this is not where our simcha is. Our simcha is, the heck, yeah, we're going to leave it behind. We're going to dwell and encompass our whole body in the mitzvah of Sukkah and dwell with you, Hashem. Because Hashem's back in the protective booth there, the Ani HaKovad. It's back again. He's watching over and protecting us. And that's the statement we're making. This is our ultimate simcha. You know, you might think, you know, you know, being blessed in materialism, which is certainly a bracha, makes us happy. No, that's not what makes us happy. Zman Simchaseinu means even with everything that you have, you still find simcha in Torah, in mitzvahs, in dwelling in Hashem's shadow, in the sukkah. That's the statement we're making. That's why sukkah, more than any other time of the year, right, is called Zman Simchaseinu, because we can prove it. You understand? When you're pressed and you're in poverty or whatever it is in Soros and you turn to Hashem. So, you know, like the expression, there's no atheist in a foxhole. Right? But now you have a choice. And the truth is, it's a tough choice because you see 99% of Jews are assimilated. Right? The intermarriage rate. Because of the luxuries. When we're in pogroms and being persecuted, you don't see people assimilating. They turn to Hashem. So Sukkot, we're making a point. We're proving something. It's interesting. We're proving something. We're proving that in the good times, right? When we're not being persecuted, we still find our simcha by you, Hashem. And that's why we leave everything behind and we do out in the Sukkot. Our world, our simcha is Torah, doing mitzvah, spirituality, right? And the materialistic world, the reaping and the benefits of Sukkah, we're going to use to do mitzvahs. To elevate it too to a spiritual level. To make the whole world into a sukkah, so to speak. Or a place, a mishkan that Hashem can dwell in. Okay? Okay? That's the statement we're making. Right? You got it? That's it. That's what we got locked in. When you're in the sukkah, that's what you need. We need to think. You know, we need to stop and think when we're in these tremendous holidays. What's going on? And sukkah is a great time for that key word that we've been saying all month. Cheshbon HaNefesh, introspection. Right? When you're in the sukkah, you're making a statement and think about it. Right? That Hashem, even in living in America, even with all the luxuries, where every day is Chag HaAsif, every day is an in-gathering festival, every day I'm surrounded by Gashmias. But if I don't have you, God, in my life, right, all the pleasures, all the luxuries of the world cannot find me happiness. There's only one thing that makes a Jew eternally happy, to dwell in the house of Hashem. And that's it. That's the psalm that we've been saying all month. David HaMelech, Achan she'alti me'eis Hashem, oisa v'kesh, I only ask for one thing, shifti be'eis Hashem kol yimei chayai, let me dwell in your house all the days of my life. L'chazos b'naya amad Hashem, to find the geshmak, the tanuge ruchnius, the pleasure of spirituality. That's it. That's what we're supposed to think about in the sukkah. This is my happiness. Ah, this is geschmack. A shaky little booth is more geschmack than a mansion when I'm doing your mitzvahs. That's what we got locked into. Okay? And David HaMelech understood this. That's what he always asked for. I always wanted to dwell in your house. It's interesting. It's always called Sukkas David. Sukkas David. Hanofelos. So I always refer to it as that. It's interesting. Okay? So that's one idea. So that explains both questions. Answers both. Why is it Zman Simchasenu? Because we're making a statement here, right? This is where we find our Simcha. And therefore, where do we find our Simcha? In the house of God. That's why the Sukkah is compared to that. Okay? Okay. All right. Now, especially so when we talk about Sukkot being after a long preparation, hopefully a long preparation of Elul, where we're getting ready for the Day of Judgment, Rosh Hashanah. We're going through a cleansing process on Yom Kippur, right? Now, as we mentioned, you know, we got our whole priority straightened out. We've been forgiven for our sins. We've been cleansed, right? Right? We confessed and were misvada and repented for getting too lost in the gashmius world, in the materialistic world. Oh, okay, we learned the lesson, and now we got the mitzvah of sukkah to symbolize our repentance. Right? We understand what life is about now. You know, we sinned. We got too lost in the good life. We didn't use it properly to serve you in comfort. We learned the lesson. We did tshuva Yom Kippur, and here we go. Now we're gonna live it out. What we repented for, and we're gonna put our whole body immersed in the midst of sukkah, and use all our materialistic gifts to serve you with. Okay, and that's the idea. Now, the truth is, this has a lot to do with when we celebrate sukkahs. I mean, let me explain. We always say Zech L'Yetziat Mitzrayim, right? So the question is, that why isn't Sukkah celebrate right after Pesach? If this is a commemorance of coming out of Egypt, right, why we should celebrate right after Pesach, right? So the Vilna Gaon explains that we're celebrating something even on a higher level than just the miracles of the clouds of glory. A higher miracle. Let me explain. What happened? We went into the desert, right, and we dwelt in these shaky booths, sukkahs. And in merit of that act of bitachon and Hashem to go on a desert with no provisions, Hashem provided us with supernatural sukkahs. Right? Good. But we built the golden calf, and we lost it. We lost the Ane HaKavod, the clouds of glory were taken away from us. Right? When was the golden calf? 17th of Tammuz. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up three times, 40 days, 40 nights. The last time he comes down on Yom Kippur. Right? Yom Kippur, he comes down and gets atonement for the sin of the golden calf. Oh, then we start building the Mishkan and the clouds of glory return, showing that we are forgiven of our sins. 5 days after Yom Kippur. That is Sukkot. So says the Vilna Gaon, we're celebrating Sukkot at the right time, not when we left Egypt. Because we're not celebrating those clouds of glory. We're celebrating the clouds of forgiveness. A bigger miracle. A bigger miracle. Yes, the seven clouds were supernatural. They cleansed our clothes, right? They flattened out the way for us, right? They knocked down all the mounds except for a couple. They killed scorpions and snakes in the way, right? All these supernatural miracles. But there's a bigger miracle that you, a Jew, you can sin against the king of the world and still you're so beloved to him, he'll forgive you. He'll take you back. And that's what the sukkah is representing after Yom Kippur. After we've sinned against the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and we repent, we get the same protection, and the same hug, and the same compassion from Hashem. And He'll dwell right back with us. We can start over. We have it in us. And that's what the celebration of Sukkot is. And that's why it's after Yom Kippur. It's a celebration that no matter how much we sin, if we do sincere tshuva, Hashem will take us back and will dwell with us again with the same intimacy, the same closeness, the same dveikus as before we sinned. That's a tremendous miracle. That's the miracle of the survival of the Jewish people. No matter how many times we sin, right, and we're punished and we're exiled, as long as we do sincere tshuva, Hashem will always take us back. That's the greatest gift we got, tshuva. So it's a direct follow-up of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur Sukkos. It's still the tshuva process. It's the final part, right? It's the reconciliation. You didn't think I could pronounce such a word, did you? Practicing that one all morning. Okay? Right? Yeah, that's what it is. The reconciliation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on us. He accepts our tshuva. It's the final spritz of Yom Kippur. You're forgiven. I take you back. I'm going to dwell with you again. Okay? So that's the beauty. That's the beauty. Can't help think about Ashrei when you think about Sukkos. I don't know about you guys. You know, Ashrei Yoishvei Beisecha. Happy are those that dwell in your house. Od Yaluchasel, we can still praise you. I say, oh, that's Sukkos. That's what Sukkos is about. You're singing songs, you're rejoicing, you're cleansed. Baruch Hashem, I'm alive. Ashrei Yoishvei Beisecha. Happy are those that dwell in your house, Hashem. That's the Sukkah. The house of a God. The shul, we said, is comparable to the sukkah. We're dwelling in your sukkah. We're forgiven. We're singing your praise. Yid is in such simcha. This is man simcha senu. Because this is what it encapsulates. As long as I'm alive, as long as I'm breathing, I can sing your praises, Hashem. What more can I want? What more can I want? No matter what kind of afflictions a person has, we should never know from them. Right? But the fact that we're alive and we're breathing, we can serve Hashem, that's the greatest simcha. That's living in a sukkah. That's what we're supposed to do. 7 days in a sukkah represents a totality, like the world's created in 7 days, right? We're supposed to take that lesson of sukkah, right, and extrapolate it throughout the year to always be dwelling in the house of Hashem, to always be doing our physical daily activities in Kedusha, like we do it in the sukkah. To always be using our materialistic world and realize that's not our simcha, but I'll use it as a means to an end. The lesson of sukkah goes all year round. Zman simchasenu. And a Jew has to be in simcha. It's a zman simchasenu. It's a station. We gotta plug into the simcha. Take it throughout the year. That's zman simchasenu. Not just for that zman. For all of life. Charge up. Charge up. Simcha. The station of Simcha, we're charging up throughout the year. That's what it's about, okay? That's it. Thank you. Okay, so that's the lesson. The lesson is to take sukkahs throughout the year. The whole world is nothing but a sukkah. The whole world is a sukkah is called a dira arai, a temporary dwelling place. That's what we're supposed to learn. The whole world is nothing but a temporary dwelling place. And that puts your wealth, money, materialism into perspective. It's not ours to keep. You can't take it with you. Right? And even when you're here, the materialistic world, the pleasures, the satisfaction pass by very quickly. You know, I always like to use that metaphor of a firework display for the materialistic world. It's beautiful. It's overwhelming. The colors, it's fantastic. And then it's over like that. You know, nothing remains. Nothing remains. You know, it's amazing. Such an explosion. Wow, fantastic. Everything. Such a highlight. Such a climax of everything. And then, boom, next moment, gone. Not a thing remains from it. That's the materialistic world, all its pleasures. It's for the moment that you're doing it, the nerve endings, the taste buds, whatever it is, it's a great feeling. But then one moment later, you know, you usually got to take Metamucil. Right? One more late. Yeah, sometimes you suffer more from the enjoyment for a longer period of time than the time that you enjoyed it. Right? So that's again one of our lessons. That's why we read the book of Koheles on Sukkos, to teach us Hevel Havolim. Everything is Hevel. Everything is vanity. Everything is like Hevel, you know, which means vanity, is also like a breath. A breath it's gone. As soon as it gets out of your mouth, it's gone. So that's what Shlomo Melech is saying. He had everything. He did everything. And it's all vanity. It's all nothing. All the pleasures of the world have no endurance, have no substance. Right? That's what it is. And that's the lesson of Sukkah. The whole world is a temporary dwelling place, and the whole purpose of the world is to do mitzvahs, the Sukkah. Okay? Okay. Now, that it says in Mesillas Yesharim, by the way, Mesillas Yesharim says an unbelievable thing. It says, anybody in their right mind who can even entertain the thought that this life and this world, with all its source, with all its afflictions, with all the fears and troubles that we go through, with all the seemingly unfairness, that this is an end, this is it. And it all ends with sickness and death. Anybody who can think that this is it, and this is the purpose and ultimate goal of life, you know, has got to be mentally unstable. I mean, just think about it. Obviously, God has a bigger plan in mind. Okay, one correction here. The 17th of Tammuz was the end of the first 40 days Moshe came back down from Mount Sinai and discovered the golden calf.
The 40th day?
Yeah. And then he went back up for two more sets of 40 days and 40 nights to get forgiveness for it. 40 days later is the Rosh Chodesh Elul, right? And then the 40 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul is Yom Kippur. I'm going to continue on this theme. Now I'm going to quote you all sorts of things here. We're going to continue. Miktam Eliyahu is going to tell you something now from the Gemara and Avodah Zarah. Okay? This is it. Listen to this. We know Sukkot has a large connection with the future world. And we talk about the future world having everybody, every tzaddik will dwell in a sukkah of Leviathan. Yeah? Can you say that? Sure you can.
Very good. It's
some large fish that its skin is going to be used for the sukkah. It's all mystical metaphors. You know, we don't know what it means, but it calls it a sukkah. It says everybody has their own sukkah in the next world. You see, it has a reference to the future world, ultimate bliss, right? Also during sukkahs, we have a connection to all the umas oilam, all the goyim, right? Because we offer kurbanas. We offer 70 cows, bulls on their behalf. And they mamish were blessed because of our kurbanos on Sukkot. Okay? It diminished each day. They started 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, I believe. They're diminishing each day, which is like a symbol that they're going to diminish. Right. Right, right. Okay? That the nations are going to diminish, and at the end they're going to be ultimately destroyed. While we had one sheep each day. That represents Israel, the steadiness, but we'll always be here. There's a whole thing there. Anyways, you see that it represents, Sukkah has a relationship to the future world, and it has a relationship to the nations of the world. Another reference to the future world is a Gemara in Avodah Zarah that says the following. It says, in the time of the ultimate redemption, right, Yimei Mashiach, Yimei Bimeinu, the nations of the world, right, will say, you know, give us a chance to do mitzvahs. That's what we'll say. Give us a chance to do mitzvahs. And the Rebbeinu, Kodesh Baruch will say, Shaitim Shaboilam, fools. Misha Tarach Berav Shabbos, Hu Yachol B'Shabbos. Only one who cooked on the eve of Shabbos, Friday, he will benefit and eat on Shabbos. And the future world is referred to as a Yom Shekulo Shabbos, a day that's all Sabbath. In other words, right, you work during the week, Shabbos, you reap the benefits of your work. So in this world, we're working spiritually, right? And the next world, we cash in the chips and we reap the benefit. Okay? So that's it. That's in Shabbos. It's always called Me'ein Olam Haba, right? It's a glimpse of the future world. Okay? So that's it. Right now, we are in the eve of Shabbos. Our goal is to get ready for the times of the Mashiach, for Shabbos. That's what it is, okay? So Hashem is going to tell the nations of the world, listen, if you didn't cook on the eve of Shabbos, you didn't work on your spiritual, on your soul, right? Right? How can you possibly eat on Shabbos? The enjoyment and pleasures of the future world and spirituality, obviously you're going to have no part of if you didn't work on your soul on that dimension in this world. Right? So he tells them, fools. Right? How can you possibly, like they say, they wanted to live like a goy but die like a Jew. Instead of a Bilam. Right? So despite this, despite all this, the Talmud tells us that Hashem says, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. I'll give you an easy mitzvah. Mitzvah kala yeshli, usuka shma. I have an easy mitzvah, and it's called sukkah. Go ahead. It's not going to cost you much money. Ein chisar and kis. No, it's not going to cost you any money. Go ahead and occupy yourself with that. So what are they going to do? Immediately they'll run up to build a sukkah on top of their roofs. Significant. I won't go into that. Okay. And a Kodesh Baruch Hu will make the day extremely hot. Like, you know, the mamash very, very, very hot. Immediately the goyim will run out of their sukkahs, right? And not only will they run out of the sukkahs, but they will kick it in. Okay? They'll kick it in. So, and that'll be the end. Basically, they failed the test. And the Gemara asks a question. According to halacha, if you are mitzta'er, if you are suffering the sukkah, let's say it's raining or extremely cold, extremely, extremely cold, right? You're exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah if you're not comfortable enough in it. Okay? So, the truth is, why in fact did they fail the test? It was so hot, so uncomfortable, 140 degrees, whatever it was, they were exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah. So the Gemara answer is true, they were exempt. But, just because you're exempt doesn't mean you have to kick in the sukkah. You know, you can, okay, so what does all this mean? So, you know, very esoteric. It explains like this. This is precisely the point. Precisely the point where we differ from the goyim. Okay, if it happened to us, we'd walk out of the sukkah. What do the goyim do? They kick it in. The nations of the world in the future are going to see the children of Israel, the Jewish people. They're going to see us, you know, enjoying the peace and the tranquility and the spiritual bliss of the next world. And they're going to complain. And they're going to say, Hashem, you know, it's not fair. It's a favorite expression today. It's not fair. You gave Israel a set of instructions. You gave them the Torah. So they knew what to do. Had you given us, you know, a set of instructions, yeah, we, you know, we too. We would have also, you know, did spirituality. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them, listen, gives them the mitzvah of sukkah, right? He's telling them the following. The basic idea, you guys knew it all along. The basic, the simplest thing to understand is that this world's a sukkah. It's temporary. Right, and you have to use it to prepare for the next world. Anybody, any one of you can look around and see people dying as they get old. You gotta, you know, obviously you can put it together that I didn't create this whole world for you just to live 80, 90, 100 years in this world. Obviously there's something else. That's what it means, getting the mitzvah sukkah. That you knew, right? That this world's an opportunity, it's a factory to accomplish good deeds, to make something of yourselves. Right? And that your own personal desires and pleasures are so temporary, so meaningless, why would you waste your life on it? Right? Okay. So, nation of the world are tested, they're tested dafka with this mitzvah of sukkah, not with any other mitzvah, because that's the main point of the world. The main point, even though we said, Hashem told him, you know, it's not going to cost you any money, and we know sukkah does cost money, the four species, but if you understand what your life is all about, right, and the money that, you know, that is to build yourself spiritually, then you understand that the money and the materialism that's lent to you is used for the spiritual. That's what you're supposed to use it for, right? To use your money to do mitzvahs. So this is the nekuda, one of the nekudas that the goyim differ from us. They can't understand this, right? In other words, the following. Even if they wanted to do a mitzvah, right? So you give them a commandment. Fine, they can do it. That they understand. Give them a command, they can do a mitzvah. But to understand that the main purpose of this world, that philosophy, the main purpose of this world, is to merit the future world, that we're here to do mitzvahs. That's our primary reason we're here. And that luxuries and comforts and materialism are not primary, that they can't handle. The nations of the world are involved in this world to the max. Okay? So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose the mitzvah of sukkah to show them that mitzvahs are not just commandments, But mitzvahs are supposed to be your life. Spirituality is mamish, supposed to be kihem chayenu. They're your whole life. So, what happens? Well, I'll tell you in a second as soon as I flip over. Nations kick in the sukkah. You know, that's it. In other words, they'll do the mitzvah they're commanded, but it gets a little tough. Oh, it gets a little tough. They're upset. They're upset. The ultimate test for the goyim is not just the sukkah, it's the fact that it was hot. It was afflictions. It was trouble. It was hard to do the mitzvah. In other words, the ultimate test is when things aren't going easy. The ultimate test is when the going gets tough, they riot. They kick in the sukkah. They complain. Right? The nations of the world have complaints. You know? Had you given us an instruction book? Had you given us a Torah? You know? Yeah, mitzvahs. We could have also gone to the Olam Haba. You know, what's the big deal? You gave Israel all this handicap, all this help, so to speak. And they want to say that we don't deserve it. We don't deserve all the glory, right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers them the following. You make it sound so easy. You know what it means that he made the sun very hot on them? He was teaching them a lesson. He was answering their complaints. You don't think it's fair that the Jews are now basking in my divine presence and enjoying all the spiritual splendor of the next world? You don't think it's fair? You think if you had a Torah mitzvah, you'd do it also, right? Here, I'm going to test you. I'm giving you a little mitzvah, an easy mitzvah, but I'm going to make it hot. True. This is what he's saying. Yeah, you're right. The Jews had an instruction booklet. Right? They had their Torah. Yeah, but you make it sound like everything was hunky-dory. No one bothered them. Everything was peaceful. The grass was green. The birds were chirping. And all the nations of the world were standing around, bowing down to us, ready to do whatever we need so we can fulfill our Torah mitzvahs. That's not exactly the way it's been the last 1925 years. Sure, we had the Torah and we had the mitzvahs. But we had to do it when the sun was beating down on us. We had to do Torah mitzvahs in a life of full of fear, full of problems, full of troubles, full of pogroms, full of holocausts, blood libels, inquisitions, Kristallnachts, exiles, expulsions, persecutions, burnings. We had to do it with the sun baking down on our backs. We had to do it with the anger and the frustrations of the nations of the world that have absolutely no idea whatsoever of who we are and what we're about. We had to do it, as it says in the Gadash Ol Pesach, Shebechol Dor Vador Undim Aleinu L'chaloseinu. In every generation, there's a nation out there that's trying to destroy us. And in fact, as it continues, if it's not for the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzileinu Miyadam, if it wasn't for the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us from their hands, we wouldn't have survived. And in that world, that's the world the Jew builds his sukkah. And that's what we're supposed to do on sukkahs. We're supposed to say, today, in my pain, in my frustration, in my confusion, this is the Zman Simchaseinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to show you joy. I'm going to show you Simcha. You know why? Because you gave us a mitzvah that teaches us up. It defines us. It explains our very being and essence. That this world is temporary. Here's a little embassy, a little sukkah, where we can show our will to grow close to you, to be lifted out of the materialistic world, and to use it, and to purchase those things that are going to build the fortress for our neshamas that we're going to dwell in the world to come. That sukkah. And even when things were real difficult, and we were so persecuted that we couldn't fulfill the mitzvahs, the attitude was never to kick at the Torah and the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The attitude was, no, this time I didn't merit. For whatever reasons, I couldn't do the mitzvah. But I'm hopeful. I'm always hopeful. Next time, maybe. Maybe next time I'll have an opportunity to fill it. But I'm not bitter. I'm not angry. And that's what makes us Am Yisrael. That's the difference between us and them. How you handle adversity. How you handle bad things happening. Do you lash out in your frustration? You complain and you worry, it's not fair, it's not my fault. Do you riot, murder, rape, pillage, plunder? Everybody who's of a certain color because something might have happened to your great-great-grandfather and you're not getting things your way. Is that the way you act to adversity? That's not the way a Jew acts. A Jew introspects. He prays to Hashem. He says, I must have sinned. He searches his ways. He comes back. And Hashem dwells with him again in the sukkah, the ani akavod, the clouds of repentance. He goes back into him and Hashem dwells him and he tries again. That's the way a Jew acts to adversity. But we never kick in the sukkah. We never kick at Hashem. One more thing. Another thing that sukkah represents is the bitachon factor, trusting in Hashem. Bitachon means, you know, we misunderstand what bitachon. We think it means that everything's going to work out all right, according to what we feel it should work out. That's not bitachon. Bitachon means that you understand Hashem is running the world. That's what it means. And it means you don't worry, you don't have anxiety. It may not turn out the way you particularly think it should turn out, right? But you don't worry. If a person is constantly worried about this world, worried about their marital status, their financial status, right? Their physicality, whatever it is, this fear, that fear, it's very hard for that person to be free and enjoy life. The reason a Jew can be engaged in a mitzvah sukkah, which represents all mitzvahs, is because intrinsically, internally, it's zecher letzias Mitzrayim. It's remembrance of coming out of Egypt. It's that we're free. There's an Inquisition, there's a Holocaust, lo aleinu, and we're being persecuted, maybe physically, but intrinsically, the soul, the neshama of the Jew is always free. Because the sukkah represents bitachon. If one is engaged in the mitzvah of sukkah properly, and that is that the simcha and rejoicing with the Torah and the mitzvahs that you have, that's what you're in simcha over, the recognition that this world is simply not worth worrying about. Rav Salanter used to say, the only thing to worry about is, why am I worried? Right? But, okay, so you recognize this world's not worth worrying about, the physicality, but I'm here in the shadow of the Shekhinah, in the sukkah, right? A time of year that I'm obligated to rejoice, regardless of what my situation is physically, regardless if I live in Russia or 1939 Germany, right? I'm not there. I'm not in Iran. I'm not in Mitzrayim, Egypt. I'm not in America or South Africa. I'm not in any of those places. I'm in the shadow of the Shekhinah. I'm in the shadow of the Divine Presence. I'm in the sukkah. And I'm rejoicing and being immersed in Torah and mitzvahs and in a closeness to you, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's freedom. I'm completely out of my worries. I'm above it. I don't have anything. Oh, it's just you. Everything else means nothing. The person who can't do this, who can't lift himself out of this world for 7 days and enjoy the Kedusha and that closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that person's a slave. That person's entrapped in this world, no matter where he lives. That's bitachon. That's the Hashem watching over us. And that's what we have to learn. Just like Hashem took care of us and watched over us in the desert with the original clouds of glory, That's what he's doing every day. He's taking care of everything. Sit back. Enjoy it. You do your part. Hashem will do his part. You have bitachon. You rejoice that you're a yid. You got Torah and mitzvahs. And don't have any worries. Don't have any daikas. Don't have any anxieties. Hashem's taking care of it all. That's the lesson of Sukkah. You just do Torah and mitzvahs. Another important thing about Simcha that we have to unlock on Sukkah is very, very important. Very important. You know, we quoted that verse last Sukkah's class. I think we quoted the verse that in last week's Torah portion. We have a series of klalos, series of curses, and why are they going to happen to you? Tachas asher lo avadata es Hashem Elokecha b'simcha merad koyel. Basically. Why? Because you didn't serve Hashem in simcha again. Again, that key word. You did the Torah mitzvahs. You did them. But lo avadata Hashem Elokecha b'simcha. You didn't do it in simcha. You didn't rejoice in it. Okay, so we went at length. What that means, that you have to have more simcha in serving Hashem than the Rav Kol, the materialistic world. You gotta find your yikar simcha in Torah and mitzvahs and serving Hashem than you do out there. Fine. But let me tell you something else. You wanna know what the nachkamina is? You wanna know what the difference is? You know what the bottom line is? This is mainly from Rabbi Fran. This is the bottom line. You know what makes it the difference? The difference is if your children are gonna continue being from Yidden, if they're going to continue doing Torah mitzvahs. He talks about that when we first came over here, European Jewry came over and escaped the Holocaust. It was very schwer. None of us should be subject to those kind of tests, trials, and tribulations. But it was very schwer. You know, they came here, they got a job, came Shabbos, they didn't show up. Monday morning, they were looking for another job. There was no OU products, Circle K, Kafka in the grocery stores that you could buy. People lived on, you know, fruits and vegetables, right? Not by choice. Okay? And so forth, it was very, very tough. And these people did more mysterious numbers. They mamish kept going. So they remained from Yidden. But their children, you know, what did they see? What did the child see? The father comes home. Oy, Shabbos again. What's going to be? Can't go to work. It's Shabbos. I can't go to work. But the expression was, Shver Zayin a Yid. It's tough being a Jew. Shver Zayin a Yid. It's tough being a Jew. That's one attitude. So if you have that attitude, you know what the children remember when they grow up? My father was a tzaddik. Imamish was a tzaddik. He came to this country and he gave up eating meat and this and that, and he gave up jobs and he lived poor all to keep Shomer mitzvahs. My father was a tzaddik. I'm not a tzaddik. I can't live that way. You know? I can't live that way. It was always tough. It was always rough. He was always sighing. You know, it was a tough life, you know? My father talk was a masochist. What can I tell you? It's a tzaddik, but you know, that's too much for me. And that's the next generation that assimilates. You hear? You can do the Torah and mitzvahs, but if you don't have the psychological outlook of, it's not shrezayin yid, it's a machaya shrezayin yid. It's a pleasure being a Jew. It's geschmack. And that's what we gotta do. We gotta, to influence our children, they have to see that Yiddishkeit is not a straitjacket, Shabbos and Yom Tov is not a straitjacket, the mitzvahs aren't a yoke, right, of do's and don'ts. They gotta see it's life, kiyem chayinu, it's our mamash, it's our simcha, it's what we live for. That's what we enjoy, it's a pleasure. You can't go around, it's broken, boy, we got Rosh Hashanah, then Shabbos, 3 days without a shower. Right? And you gotta worry about this, and you can't do that, right? And you get all these things. You know, if you go around with that attitude, kids are gonna pick it up. I said, heck with it. What do I need that for? Live a whole life of misery. I left my whole childhood, I was in misery. You know? But no, you gotta show them. That's not it. That's why the curses come. You gotta show, you know, Idu Hashem b'simcha. You gotta show Shabbos at the table, you're singing songs, I'm rejoicing, the sukkahs, you gotta be singing while you build the sukkah. Right? They gotta see it's a pleasure, it's mamish, what you're living for. It's geschmack. And no matter, you know, look, they got to see, just like in the secular world, when you work hard for something, right? But you enjoy every moment of it. I don't care if you're a track star, a baseball player, or a lawyer. You worked all those years to get the degree, or you worked all that, you know, sweated out in practice, right? All those things. But it was a labor of love. Okay, no one's not saying it's not hard. But you can be hard and still be in simcha. You know, you could still be a labor of love. That's what we got to show. We got to show that not just to our children. We got to show it to all those children out there. All Nebuch, the secular Jews, who think that, you know, they think Yiddishkeit, Orthodoxy, is Tisha B'Av all year long. That's the connotation they have about us. They always go around so somber and... The truth is, Kaddish is a mamish, a tremendous praise of Hashem. You should say it in simcha, not like a funeral march. It is a praise of Hashem's name. That's what we got to do. Sukkah is supposed to implant in us a realization of the simcha of being yidden and have Torah and mitzvahs and be happy. And be happy doing it and influence other people by showing that this is a zis life, as we said many times. Not just the next world. Ashrecha bo'im hazeh. We're happy in this world. And the truth is, we are. We really are. If it was taken away from us, we'd be in misery. If it was taken away from us and they gave us $10 million instead, we may be happy. The worst of us may be happy for a couple weeks. But then we'd have such a hollow, such an empty feeling. There's no substance to our lives. You know, we imagine a person would grab all the goshmias and gusto we could get. And, you know, let's say he's completely thrown off the yoke. You'd eat steaks and be promiscuous and do all these things. How long do you think it'll take before it gets old? How long do you think it'll take? 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, a month. I mean, just how many things can you do with your nerve endings? Right? That's it. And after a while, you see it's an empty existence. It's an empty existence. Once a person's from, there's no way in the world he can go back to that world. Once he's tasted the true life, true simcha. Okay. But we have to translate it in our emotions. We have to put it from the intellect into the heart. And show that mamash we're in simcha. We enjoy it. That's what sukkah does. I'm dwelling this little sukkah. It's a little nothing, you know, compared to my big house. But it's better here. Better here, right? That's what the dove said. When it came back from Noah, better a bitter branch brought back an olive branch. Better a bitter branch from your hands, Hashem, you know, during the flood, right? Than all the food at the hands of man, right? That's what we're saying with Sukkah. Better a little booth, shaking everything, but since I'm doing a mitzvah, it's great, it's geschmack, who cares? And that's it. That's the story. That's the story of Sukkot. That's what we got to learn out, and that's what we got to influence other people. We got to be in Simcha. This is the time. It's a special Siyata D'Shemaya, a special assistance from Hashem to open up the gates of Simcha on Sukkot for all 7 days. To that degree, during those 7 days of Sukkot that we're in Simcha, that's how much Simcha we're going to be in throughout the year. There's Mamsha verse in the prayers that says this. Shivas Yamim, I can't remember that. For 7 days you shall rejoice of the year. They learn from there, that rejoicing unplugs it for the whole year. This is not like a little vortelach, I'm telling you. This is mamish life. This is the time to unlock the most important thing there is. You did tshuva, you repented, you're cleansed. Now, there's a further step. You can be cleansed of your sins, and you can serve Hashem, and just go through it like a 9-to-5 job. Or you can realize it's mamish your life. This is what you live for. Or you have no life. That's what it means. You have no life. Get a life. That's what it means. You could be doing it. Means you did the Torah mitzvahs like a 9-to-5 job, but you didn't enjoy it. So Sukkot comes to remedy that. So that's what we've got to get out of Sukkot. Okay, to sum this up, there's a lot I want to say here, that nothing is greater in Hashem's eyes than the Simcha Shel Mitzvah. The rejoicing over doing the mitzvah. And that's amazing. It's even, to a certain degree, in a certain arena, I don't know how this works again, I don't like saying this, but in some arena, it's more highly regarded by Kodesh Baruch Hu than the mitzvah itself. I don't know how that works exactly, but the idea is, Hashem doesn't want you just to do the physical act, He wants you to do the spirit of the act. And the spirit of mitzvahs is that you should rejoice at the opportunity of serving Hashem. So that idea, the simcha of the mitzvah, you see great tzaddikim, like David HaMelech we mentioned, who was dancing wildly in front of the Aron, in this tremendous simcha of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so that's the idea. When we're in the sukkah, this is what we've got to reflect on. We've got to reflect on that this we're dwelling in Hashem's wings, so to speak, in His shadow again. He's watching over us. He's taking care of us like He did in the desert. Every day, He's taking care of us. He's watching over us. He saved us from all sorts of sorrows. That's the bitachon aspect, the trusting in Hashem. You don't have worries and anxieties. Hashem's taking care of everything. That's one idea. The other idea is that the idea of simcha, that why we're here in this world. The world's a sukkah, and we're here to fulfill mitzvahs and develop ourselves, and we're cleansed from Yom Kippur, and now we understand and we serve you throughout the year in simcha. So those are the two ideas, bitachon and simcha. You know, you go with that. You know, that's what our Rebbe once told me, that a Jew has to go in this world of two things. He has to have a sense of humor and bitachon. But this goes further. This is mamish simcha being a yid and bitachon and a kaddish baruch hu. They go hand in hand. That's what gives, right? If a person is really in simcha, he doesn't worry about anything. He has trust in Hashem. So, I'm going to close with a little tefillah here that a kaddish baruch hu should mamish mizaki all of us, that we feel the ashpa of the sukkahs and mamish feel the zizkite and Torah mitzvahs and realize that Ashreinu, matov chalkenu, how wonderful is our lot that we get to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And mamish ivdu is Hashem b'simcha throughout the whole year. Thank you very much and have a chag sameach.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.